The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle, and again, live Sunday at high noon in the Washington metropolitan area, bringing you the most important information on your health, things that you can use, things that allow you to understand better than you did before. And as always, we have a great program for you today, and one that a lot of us get a little concerned about if the symptoms start bothering us. And what we're talking about is your brain and memory. You know, you get brain fog and memory loss, and you wonder why. And sometimes you think it's transient, or I'm just too tired, or I ate something that was wrong. Well, sometimes it's much more significant than that, and we're going to explore that in depth today, and it's going to be the subject of our in-house continuing education program this Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax. And as we go through, I want you to know that you can call us today and ask any questions you'd like to at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. My guest today to talk about this area is none other than Dr. Qinglong Zhang. Dr. Zhang has a pretty good idea of not only why, but the how to fix it. But we really want to explore that. So welcome, Dr. Zhang.
And thank you, Dr. Rozelle.
Let's get into this a little bit. You'll be doing the presentation this Wednesday. You'll be teaching people, you know, the differentiations between, you know, just being too tired and you can't remember and things that might be happening very severely. But as we get into the program today, I want to talk about not only, you know, people lose their capacity. Like me, sometimes I get so busy, I have my hands full of things. I put something down in one room and I forgot where I put it. But it can get much more severe than that. It's the differentiation and how to fix it, because we all get very concerned. None of us want to get to the place where we forget everything about us. We forget about our families. We forget about, you know, how to do certain things. So we're going to talk about that today. Anyway, let's get into the subject a little bit. And let's talk first a little bit about how prevalent is memory loss? How prevalent is the ability to not have the sharpness, if you will, in mental cognition? Is it affecting many people, or is it just a small problem that
affects a lot of people, many people? So before we get there, you know, so I want to give some numbers that you can have idea what we will talk about. So, and then how you can know, you'll figure out how can I fix the problem. So for the brain, we talk about brain is a very complicated CPU, the computer, CPU. So the brain uses 20% of the all body energy, 20%. If you feel tired, your brain feels tired first. And also the brain is 60% fat. Can't believe that. It's 60% fat.
So if somebody says that you're a fathead, you should thank them for it, right?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. And in the 60% fat, when I say fat, it's not just like, you know, the greasy, the animal fat, is more the good fat. But it's a 20% DHA. The body cannot make it at all. So that makes sure your gut absorbs the DHA, absorbs all different resources of food.
So when you're talking about DHA, you're talking about a certain type of fat that the brain needs to function, and obviously other parts of the body as well.
Yes, correct. And also, we talk about cholesterol all the time, no matter the older people or younger people, we talk about cholesterol all the time. There's a study shows you, so neurologist study shows you higher, live a higher cholesterol after age 70. It is a lower risk of dementia.
So all these people that are put on statins to bring down their fats in their body, their lipids, you know, the cholesterols and so forth. You know, we've told our patients for years that that's not a good thing, and the levels are too low, and they can lead to many different types of disturbances pathologically, but the one that's really important here is the brain, because the brain needs fat. It needs cholesterol. And if you
function,
yes. And if you don't have it, you can't function. You can't think.
Yeah. And also because of 25, not only for 25% of body's cholesterol where in the brain is a one fourth of cholesterol in the brain. So that means the lower cholesterol definitely can cause a brain cell death. But the cholesterol level has a limit to how higher. So I'll tell you a bit more later on. And the same thing again. So the new research also shows you if you have a lot of the head injury, that's a brain, that a part of brain called the hypothalamus. So if that part of brain got problems, it can cause a lot of the mood issue and the memory issue, and even can affect your lifespan.
So if you don't have enough fat, you're not going to live too long either. You're going to, you know, check out earlier, right?
Yeah.
So the thing that most people don't understand is that we need to have balances in our body. And when those balances aren't there, if we don't have enough sugar in the body, the number one food that the brain needs is certain types of sugar. It's actually glucose, and it has to be converted properly. The brain needs to have fats to be able to do what it needs to do to transport the neurotransmitters, mm-hmm. the neurological signaling mm-hmm. pieces of the brain. And if those things aren't there, or they're being eaten up too quickly in other places, or they're being blocked, we have a problem. Let me ask you a question. We worry about brain fog. You know, we just, mm-hmm. We're overly tired. You said that a few minutes ago, and the mind doesn't work quite as, and it's the first thing to get tired. Your brain gets tired first before the rest of the body.
Right. And also, same thing in the brain, I burn a lot of energy. You know, my dad is a medical doctor. When I was in the college or high school, the way he will say, did you work hard, study hard or not, is can you wait? He said, if you work hard, use the brain a lot, you lose a lot of weight. That makes sense. And burn a lot of energy, burn a lot of fat too.
Well, you know, it's people really don't understand that connection, particularly in our country. You know, we're a country that's so stuck on, oh my God, if I eat this, I'm going to get too fat. Well, if you become active mentally, creatively, and so forth, we're using those brain cells. Your body's got to get that fat from someplace, and it's going to take it from the storage area around your body.
Thank you. Yeah, that's why a lot of people go to gym, they do crazy exercise, a lot of work. Then this is the only thing they do physical work, they forget about the mental work. So you need to do more mental work and then combine the physical work, they can lose weight too.
So let me ask you a question. You know, if that's the case, if the brain needs the fat storage, right?
Yeah.
And it has to be converted into blood sugar, glucose. It stores it in the form of something called glycogen, mm-hmm. and then it converts it into glucose, and then it feeds the cells. If somebody's exercising heavily on a routine basis, and they're not supplying enough glucose to their body, or they're not getting enough fat, particularly in the form of good fats, obviously mm-hmm. olive oil and avocado and things of that nature. So where my brain is going right now is that, you know, these people aren't going to be able to function at high levels, that their brain is going to suffer because of it, and potentially they may have more serious problems down the road. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly what I say. So the brain, actually, when they talk about brain, memory loss, but a brain fog, memory. So before talk about memory loss, we want to talk about memory. Basically, we want to know how does it work. So memory, when you get something, we have three stages. The stage one called encoding. So then encoding means you receive information, you're processing, you combine all the information. The stage two is storage. So that means after you receive all the information, the brain created the permanent record on the specific cell, specific part of the brain. And the last one is the retrieval. So you're calling back the storage, the information, and response of the I remember this. But right now, there's something can block the way you retrieve the information. So the most common reason is that we always talk about inflammation.
Yeah, that's
inflammation.
It's a fascinating subject, because one that I personally think is confused and it's approached the wrong way. And those of you who are just jumping in right now and listening to the program, my guest today is Dr. Qinglong Zhang, and we're talking about mental fog and memory loss and confusions and things of that nature, which is the subject of our presentation at the Results Center for Healing this Wednesday, the 9th of March. Dr. Zhang will be your presenter, and we would love to have you as our guest. All you have to do is go to rosellecare.com. That's rosellecare.com. Click the button that says register. We'll reserve a seat for you, and then we'll give you a call back. Or you simply can call the office at 703-698-7117 and reserve your seat that way. I promise you this will be an impactful program. I'll give you some tools of, even if you're suffering from a little bit of, you know, memory loss, we think, well, as you get older, you know, your brain doesn't work quite the same, you know, when you have certain exposures. But everybody's worried about Alzheimer's, and we're going to talk about that a little bit, not only on the program today, but also, you know, on Wednesday evening. Dr. Zhang, let's talk about, we got a couple of minutes before a break, but let's talk a little bit about, is it natural for people to lose their memory and not be as sharp as they get older? Is it a result of aging, or as we put on many years, we do certain things that cause that?
I would say both ways. So naturally, you do lose some memory, but however, it will not that it always be called dementia. Not everybody has dementia. Not everybody have Alzheimer's. It's only certain people have lost a lot. That because of diet pattern, because of different injury, because a lot of different reasons, that causes dementia to the Alzheimer's. And also same thing, if you do the right things, you pinpoint the underlying issue, what's going on there, how can you improve, can prevent the loss of memory, you can do something for yourself.
You know, it's interesting. There's some people, and we have patients in our office who are in their late 80s and early 90s, and their mind is sharp and it's quick and it's faster than mine. Yeah. And we have people who are much younger that really struggle. So in my brain and throughout my entire career, the process of holding on to information, if you will, the ability to react to information, if you keep yourself mentally interested and doing things, the brain, as we know, is plastic. It can mold.
Trend.
The brain can produce new cells. Where years ago, they said, you know, once you lose your cells of the brain, any of the neural receptors, it's gone. They never come back again. Today, we know that's not true, that the brain can restore normal function over a period of time, given the right circumstances. So when you have somebody that's older like that, and they're, you know, they're getting old age memory loss, can that be reversed?
Yes.
So that's a big hit when you say
that's bad. That's bad. I know that's bad. But however, the body, as you said, the brain cell can be trained. It can be, they call it plasticity. The brain cell can learn if you do something right. That's what I said. I have patients over 90, their brain is very sharp. I have patients 30, 40, they have brain fog almost every day. So that's a lot of things we can do. There's a lot of things we didn't do. The body patient didn't do it, that if you have memory loss or brain fog. So that means the brain can be trained. The brain memory can gain back.
You know, I want to get into this much deeper with you. We're coming up to a break in the program, so we're going to have to stop just for a second and you know, acknowledge the people that bring everybody this Dr. Tomer's alive. But this is a fascinating situation, and we're all a little worried about what happens as we get older, but I want to touch upon that a little bit more. You're listening to Dr. Tomer's alive. My guest, Dr. Qinglong Zhang. We're talking about your brain, your memory, your capacity to, you know, stay where you are. We'll be right back after some very important messages. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. Indeed, we are. And you know what? We got a program today that is extremely interesting. Maybe it's fascinating. Maybe it's scary for some people relative to, am I going down that road or am I not going down that road? My guest today, Dr. Qinglong Zhang, and we're talking about your memory, or sometimes the lack thereof, memory loss, and the different, there's a lot of conditions that they, you know, they'll coin for it, like, you know, old age memory loss or perhaps Alzheimer's, God forbid. But what we want you to know is that there's reasons for this thing. Dr. Zhang is going to be your presenter at our in-house continuing education program this Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax. We're right off the National Capital Beltway probably a half a mile, and it's really easy to access. And particularly now with the days getting longer, it's an easy shot in. We hope that you'll join us. You go to RoselleCare.com and register, or call the office, 703-698-7117. Dr. Zhang, welcome back again. Let's get into this a little bit deeper. You know, we touched on a lot of ideas in the second half of the program. I want to really explore certain things, but I want to encourage our listening audience, if they'd like to talk to us at 888-630-9625, give us a call. We're more than happy to entertain the questions. But let's talk about this process of getting older and why people seem to lose their memory pattern. Why is it that, you know, say, well, I'm getting older and I don't remember, and they're having problems finding words, or they're having problems remembering names and things of that nature? Mm-hmm. We know that injury can do that, concussions. We know that, you know, certain drugs can do that and so forth, mm-hmm. changing the chemistry. But why does it seem that just getting older does that?
Because, you know, when you get older, the brain lost, the gut cannot absorb a lot of your gut function. Let me talk about brain and the gut function. When you get older, your gut is not as strong enough as before to absorb the food, absorb a nutrient. Why I talk about gut? Because it's 80% neurotransmitter made in the gut go to your brain. And the serotonin, dopamine, or conscious, all this lot of neurotransmitter made there. If you do not have very good appetite, you do not have a good gut support. When you get older, digestive enzyme tends to go lower after you get older. Then your brain will lack a lot of neurotransmitter, and then you cannot function very well. And not only that, but also the dehydration is the most very common reason right now, especially for all the people. It surprised me that 75% Americans has dehydration right now.
So people don't drink enough water, and, you know, they say, well, I drink coffee, I drink tea, I drink, you know, whatever, but it's dehydrating as well. And the truth of it is, people don't get enough water in their system, and they can tell just by looking at their skin if their skin is dry. They don't get enough fats either. They don't get enough of the omega-3 fatty acids. And those, as we started out the program, we talked about that they need fat for the brain. So, you know, I kiddingly said, if somebody calls you a fathead, be thankful.
So when you get older, that means you'll lose memory, because we only use 2% of our brain. That's a huge amount of brain. We don't use it actually. Even though we get older, still don't use that. That's the way I'm saying we have to focus the gut function. The gut function is very, very important, especially for the older people.
You know, the intestinal tract has always been called the second brain because of that. It produces 75, mm-hmm. some authors will tell you 80% of all the mm-hmm. neurotransmitters. Mm-hmm. And they're important, from things like taurine and theanine and GABA and so forth. That's where those things, serotonin, dopamine, that's where they all come from. And they cross over the brain, and they supply the normal functional process, neurological process. But if people aren't getting the right nutrients, if they're not hydrated as well, his body can't function electrically. If there's not enough fat, if there's not enough sugars, if they drop the cholesterol, it's too low. We're seeing more of that when patients walk in. Their cholesterols are way too low, particularly if they're, you know, over 65 years old.
And yes, that's a problem too.
There are tons of statins. It's horrible. But this affects systems throughout the whole body. Is that correct?
That's very right. And also same thing. After you get older, the hormone will change. Hormone deficiencies can cause a problem too. So that's why the estrogen and the progesterone, it can lead to the change of the memory and the concentration too. That's another problem too.
So as we get older, we go through either andropause for men or menopause for women.
Yep.
It shifts the hormone patterns in an unnatural way. The thing that is that menopause and andropause are changes that we all go through, but they shouldn't be heavily abrupt changes. They shouldn't destroy the body. Go ahead. No.
Yeah. That's why we have used some natural way to support your body, to balance the hormone. I'm also acupuncturist too. From a Chinese medicine, oriental medicine, you have balance yin and yang. The Chinese people, older Chinese people know that a long time ago, they said after 56, 50, 51, you need to do some needles or to some herb to balance. You do not have to suffer in the the menopause symptoms or the bad temper or hot flashes. There's a way, use a natural way to fix that. That's what we talk about.
You know, it's very interesting. You know that I've been to China a couple times, and the first time I was there, I was in Beijing and also in Shanghai, where you're from. And every morning I would go out and I would watch literally hundreds of people along the river doing Tai Chi, gentle breathing and energetic movements and so forth, from people who were very young to people who were very old. And they all had one thing in common. They were extremely flexible and movable, and they were sharp. And, you know, there's a story I've told you about, which we don't have the time to talk about right now, but, you know, this woman corrected me on some of the things I'm doing. We're coming up to a break, and this is a fascinating subject. We want to give you a lot more so you can help yourself, and we'll do that when we come back after the break, but we'll also do it this Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Dr. Zhang will be your presenter. This is a program that if you do attend, you're going to walk away with tools that will be able to help you help yourself. That's the important piece. Don't go away. We'll get back in a little bit more in detail. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Welcome back, everyone. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. My guest today, Dr. Qinglong Zhang. We're talking about your brain, particularly your memory, and what happens to it, and where did it go? Did you forget it someplace? Or, you know, also brain fog, that kind of, you know, oh my God, it's there someplace, and oh, now I remember type of thing. Sometimes that happens as, you know, we get older. And if you listen to the first part of the program, maybe it shouldn't be happening as we get older, but it's a lifestyle presentation. We talked a little bit about your gut and how it produces all the neurotransmitters that your brain needs. And sometimes if lifestyle and diet or inflammatory reactions take place, the brain can't handle it, or it handles it too well and shuts everything down. But this Wednesday evening, Dr. Zhang will do an amazing presentation. I say amazing. The man's brilliant anyway, but what I'm talking about is this gives you a different insight, you know, a way of recovering your mind, if you will. We're going to talk a little bit about something called type 3 diabetes. We'll mention that as we go through. He'll cover it a little bit more in depth and how it affects certain pathological situations within the brain. But Dr. Zhang, welcome back.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about, there's several things I know you want to talk about on the program today, but let's talk a little bit about what happens in the case of, you know, brain fog. What does that really mean? Does it mean we can't remember anything? It just means that things are slower and coming back to us. Does it mean that, you know, how would you really describe brain fog, and what are the triggers? Where does it come from?
So brain fog actually is not a medical condition. So brain fog actually is a symptom of other medical conditions. So a lot of people say, for example, just like you said at the beginning, when you walk into the room, you cannot remember why you are there or why I'm here. So I don't know why I'm here. And you have trouble recalling the names. It's not because of memory loss, because of brain fog. I'm so foggy. I just feel like I'm walking in the fog. I don't know where I have to go. I'm very blurry. I cannot place where I left my key. I don't know my key. And some of the words of a name, you always talk as on the tip of your tongue, but you cannot just recall it. This is the brain fog. So this brain fog is a type of cognitive dysfunction involving a lot of medical conditions. That's what we talk about. If you talk about brain, we talk about brain fog, we have to talk about a lot of the medical issues underneath that. For example, the autoimmune disease. Autoimmune disease, over 80-90% of autoimmune problem patients, they have brain fog. They have brain fog.
Wow. So that's, you know, it's a scary process too, because people worry that they're not going to be quite as sharp. They worry as they get older. But you talked a little bit about the dietary pathways. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you talk to people about, you have to make sure that you're fat levels are solid in your body, particularly your omega-3s. And they come from a lot of different things, from avocados to olive oil and coconut oil and things like that. But also, you know, the darker color fruits like blueberries and raspberries and strawberries and things of that nature. Broccoli is a tremendous brain food, and people don't realize how good it is. There's certain type of nuts because of the fat components of the nuts. And, you know, as much as I tell people that they need to get off of it. Dark, dark, dark chocolate is good for the brain as well. Mm. And, but it's not the ones that is milk chocolate. It's not the one that has a lot of sugar in it. Actually, cocoa is probably your best. But having said that, let's get into this brain fog just for a couple minutes. And yeah. I know you're going to get into it in depth this Wednesday evening. But, mm-hmm. you know, how did you distinguish somebody who has just brain fog and somebody who is – their body's giving them warnings about my brain – this is something to worry about. It may be leading into something called Alzheimer's or something of that nature. Is there a difference in how they present, or do you have to do other things to figure it out?
Yes, you can distinguish them between, for example, if you only have very short, very light symptoms, just like what you said before, but if you plus some, for example, the temper change, your temper changed, and you cannot find the way you go home, it's very bad. So Alzheimer's is much worse than brain fog. So brain fog is only light symptoms, but Alzheimer's is much worse.
So when you get into an Alzheimer's type of presentation, I mean, obviously there's a time when not only they forget objects, things that they normally accustomed to. They, you know, they'll look at a phone and say, well, that thing. But sometimes you can tell them the word, but they can't associate the object. So it can go either way. I want to go into that just for a second. And I know you'll cover it more mm-hmm. this Wednesday evening. Alzheimer's has been called type 3 diabetes.
Yes.
Yeah. Why?
Because the brain cell need the sugar to function. If your brain cell has insulin resistance, there's not enough sugar to support your brain, then you cause brain function problem.
You know what I tell people too that eat a lot of sugar, or they eat things that convert into sugar and are stored in the body. The body has to burn it. If you don't have enough of, if you have too much of it, it's going to pack it away, and it's going to pack it away in the brain too. It can be overwhelmed if you're not burning it up. Here's what happens, and I'm going to give people a metaphor so they can visualize something. If you take a cup of sugar, white sugar, and you put it in a saucepan, and you turn the flame on the stove and just very, 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 very low, very light, and you keep moving the sugar around. Pretty soon it melts, but it turns into caramel. It gets that deep brown color. But when you then turn it off, it gets hard. And that's what happens in the brain as well. This caramelized type of substance stops the nerves from communicating, and it encrusts the brain as well. And it causes a memory pattern. And there's drugs that will do that as well. Years ago, when, you know, I was growing up, the term pothead came about as somebody was using marijuana every day, high levels of THC, not just a little bit, but a lot. And there was a personality trait that went along with it. What we know today is that THC, the extract from cannabis that gives everybody a high, can cause the nervous system to slow way down. It was the attitude, the guy that says, hey man, you know, he was very, very slow in his cadence. And overuse of a substance like that, and there's other drugs that do the same thing and the like. You know, what I want to get into just a little bit is, and we haven't touched upon it yet, and I think it's extremely important. We've gone through 2 years of a horror story, as far as I'm concerned, with this COVID and the variants and things of that nature. And what we're seeing with long-haul people and people who've had the vaccines, they're coming up with memory loss patterns or high states of anxiety. And it's a presentation where people are freaking out because they forget to do things where their minds were very sharp before. And now that's changed. It's changed to the point where not only they notice it, but people around them notice it as well. There's a lot of literature out there. If you look at it, and even the drug companies that produce the vaccines are aware of it, that these are causing disturbances because of inflammation, correct, in the brain and in also affecting the heart. Let's talk about it for a minute and what you're aware of when it comes to that.
So when you talk about inflammation and this, how I want to let you guys know how your inflammation can affect your brain. How? Because every single brain, every brain cell, we based upon the neurotransmission. So the neurotransmission is very high speed. So the brain communication, do you know how high speed is 268 miles per hour.
Wow.
This is how the brain communication together. So that's one, just like the cable around, they have the shade around the cable. The speed is 268 mile per hour. So there's a mile length shade and a cover around that. And that can send information to the cable, said, okay, go communicate. But if you have inflammation or swelling there, and then you block the way to communicate, the main cable cannot retrieve the information. I get blocked there, and then the brain cannot function.
You know, I was reading an article the other day. It was on PubMed, which is a very well refereed research site, and they were talking about memory loss and how it relates to the inflammatory cascade, if you will. You know, during this whole thing, we heard about the cytokine levels getting, you know, crazy and causing the inflammation. And then they finally came out and said, as a result of a lot of the vaccines, as well as the virus itself, we have a pericarditis and a myocarditis. Myocarditis meaning the muscle of the heart inflamed. The pericarditis meaning the pericardium, the surrounding wrapper around the heart being inflamed. And the same process takes place with brain function. And we know there's ways of treating it using very high levels of natural anti-inflammatories, quercetin. You can take it up to actually 3, 4, 5 grams a day, some NAC. It depends on the patient. You have to be careful. N-acetylcysteine, we talked about it, stopping the progression of it. And there's other ways of handling that to get the inflammation down. But this is significant. We're seeing more and more people come in and say, hey, I'm not working the way that I should. My brain seems to not be firing. I can't remember things, you know, and then you ask them, you know, did you have COVID? And many of them will say yes. Were you exposed to someone around? So the shedding process of both the virus and also of the vaccine. And is that really taking place? And is it significant? Does everybody have to deal with it? Now, we know that the masks don't work because John Hopkins and CDC came out and said they don't do anything.
Yeah. So we talk about the brain function, about brain energy. So we all talk about mitochondria. So the mitochondria is the power of generator of the cell. And they produce a lot of ATP, you know, the oxygen go to mitochondria, produce ATP and give you energy. So it's a very, very high concentration in the brain. So that brain can function. So we are not healthy. We have the fatigue or cravings, you know, when the mitochondria is not, they're not functioning very well, you have the fatigue, forgiveness, the craving, the mood swings, and also the brain fog too. So actually, the hormones can regulate the mitochondria. So which organ regulates the mitochondria is the thyroid.
The thyroid is as well.
The thyroid as well, yes. That means a lot of people treat the memory loss, a lot of people treat the energy, a lot of people treat the brain fog, and they forgot about the thyroid. The thyroid does not work on their own, but they work together with the brain too.
You know, there's an interesting amino acid. It's called L-carnitine, and it works especially well when it's at a good level. It protects and supports heart and brain function. There's several sub-steps, for both the brain and for the heart. But, L-carnitine is depleted under injury, under trauma, under chronic pain patterns, inflammation, swelling, and so forth. So if you begin to track that, you begin to see that patients who've had exposures to different viral patterns, their immune system has been trying to defend and fight. We see that L-carnitine levels seem to be low. And so, you know, you're dealing with, and you're talking about the mitochondria, coenzyme Q10, but it has to be a very specific form, is going to support brain function and the heart. And by the way, dental tissue as well. A lot of people have had the vaccine or have had COVID complain of dental or gum irritation. Sometimes you got to get that up and you have to use L-carnitine as well for all three of those things. It's an interesting subject. And I know you're going to get into a lot more of that, you know, this Wednesday evening. It's quite fascinating. let's talk a little bit. I want to ask you a direct question with memory patterns. So we said that people who exercise too much, and you know they're out doing marathons and so forth, if they don't have the right nutrient balance, if they don't get enough fat in their body, they're going to take fat away from the most important areas. It's called the brain and the heart. Or if they have the right wrong fats, they're going to cause other inflammatory reactions.
That's correct.
But do they have to have? Do we have, as a human being, is some exercise good? And it should be low? It should be fast and short, or it should be just, you know, slow and continued? Which is the best way to go?
There's a slow continue. Do not do so. Not everybody is athletes. We are not athletes. I don't want people to exercise every single day. I don't want people to just exercise at night. From Chinese medicine, you're not supposed to do anything very high intensity at night because yin and yang better. So it's too much to say. So I would not sit to hear, you know. So yeah, so we want physical activity. So slowly continue. That's why when I was on next Wednesday, I'll talk about the physical inactivity cause a problem too. So I like TED Talk, you know, TED Talk. So this one title is very, very famous. The author is Daniel Wolpert. So Wolpert. And he said, it's 1.1 million views there. He said, our brain did not evolve to think. It evolved to move better. Move better. Yes. So same when I say move, that doesn't mean you sweat a lot. You do a lot of heavy exercise. I don't remember how many patients would come to see me. I sweat a lot, do a lot of exercise. I don't feel well. That means you overdo something. You deplete yourself, your adrenal, your kidney, your brain function is not function very well because you overdo, and you overdo a bit beyond your ability to do something. And your nutrient cannot catch up you, then they deplete you.
So it's truly a situation where you have to have true balance. You have to have certain types of foods that make sure that support the body, and you have to have the right omega fatty acids, and you have to have the right neurotransmitters. You have to make sure that you're stimulating your body enough so it transports the storage of glycogen, converting it into glucose to feed the brain, to feed the heart, to feed the areas neurologically that need it. And we have to make sure that we calm ourselves. You know, I talk to everybody, you know, when I first meet a patient, I said part of the healing process is to make sure that you have a skill set in either meditation or prayer or both, you know, and to be able to put yourself into a place where your body can balance and slow itself down and communicates properly.
To heal.
You know, walking is good enough exercise. Just get out and walk a couple miles every day. It doesn't make any difference how fast you do it, but do it on a regular basis. But the people that seem to get in the most trouble are the people who don't balance their diets, and I'm talking about young people, I'm talking about athletes, that don't balance their diets properly, and they think that they're going to go out and, you know, they're going to do all this crazy intense exercise, and they do it every day. They're actually hurting themselves.
Yeah, that's all right. And also, besides that, you know, that's a very common question from a patient is, so I don't eat a sugar, so I just use artificial sweeteners.
Hold on to that in a second. We're coming up to a break. I want you to continue the process. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more usable information. Stay where you are. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rizal. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live, as you do every Sunday at high noon in the Washington metropolitan area, the Mid-Atlantic area. And those of you who are around the country that tune in, you know the drill. I don't know how some of you find us, but you do, and you make it a point because we keep getting data from you and questions and so forth, and we do the best we possibly can always to answer your questions. Those of you who want to have a little piece of information or, you know, how to find us, you can simply do that by going to rozelcare.com or drtomrozel.com. Either way, one of us will get back to you and try to answer as best we possibly can and give you the information that you need. But don't forget, this Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, the Rozel Center for Healing will be hosting a program with Dr. Zhang. He'll be talking to you about brain fog and memory loss and the things that cause it. But more importantly, how do you get it fixed? What's the issue? You know, You can have a memory pattern problem because you have a concussion and it's never healed properly. You can have a problem with dietary patterns. You can have a problem with stress patterns. You can have a problem with chemistries that are not natural to the body that go in and take up housekeeping in your brain. So we're going to take those apart. We're going to look at them. We're going to show you what's possible. We're going to show you what you can do to deal with all these conditions. But just join us. Go to RozelleCare.com and click register here. You'll go about halfway down and you'll see the notice for the presentation, or simply call the office at 703-698-7117 and tell them that you want to come, and we will reserve a seat for you and make that happen. Dr. Zhang, let's talk a little bit, a couple of different things I want to discuss with you, but if we have time. First, so we make sure that we cover, what are you going to cover Wednesday evening? What information can people walk away with?
Okay, so the first part, I will tell you what is brain fog, what's the memory loss, structural memory loss, and the second one is what's the cause of the problem. So then I'll talk about the treatment, how can I approach to naturally to treat the brain fog and then brain memory loss. And last but not least, I always give some information, the tips you go home to do at home. For example, how we talk about neuroplasticity. So I will tell you how can you train your brain naturally at home to besides my treatment, combine with my treatment together and use some Chinese medicine. I have some acupressure to tell you to do at home and provide you a little bit of basic nutrition you can bring home to combine the treatment together. I offer that make your brain health better.
You know, it's an interesting process that I was looking at probably about 7, 8, 9 months ago. And one of our doctors who you know very well, he lives out in the Midwest, probably a little further than that, Utah area. Mm-hmm. And he does brain patterning, utilizing laser therapy. So low energy light laser, like it's quantum light. It has a very specific frequency of photon level. And putting people through very specific exercise patterns and modes of thought process and so forth with the laser on the brainstem or areas of injury and so forth. And they've recorded and kept the data where they see certain parts of the brain light up that weren't working well before that. So there's a lot of data. There's a lot of information out there that can make a huge impact.
I can do better using my acupuncture skills too. I can use acupuncture to go to laser and then move better too.
Yeah, the combination are incredible. I've seen you take patients who've had strokes and, they've had, cognitive problems, but also motorical problems using laser and acupuncture.
Adjustment. Yep.
You've turned them around and I'm just sit there and I'm fascinated. I watch you do it. And I say, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
We still have a little bit of time. A lot of people, they don't know the TMJ, your jaw can cause memory loss too. And the
temporal mandibular joint.
Yes. So a lot of people don't know. Oh my TMJ. I had one patient last week, actually. I went check everything. Patient has very foggy. It's not clear. Everything looks fine. When I said TMJ, let me say T. When I say T is not in line, when I muscle test the TMJ, TMJ is very off. Then I said, I have TMJ problems. I said, your TMJ problems cause my brain fog. The patient's eye just like big, huge eye. I said, really? I said, yes. I explained to the patient why, because the TMJ is in the part of cranial nerve, the cranial nerve, and improve your brain ability to clean itself and sleeping. If your rotation TMJ is not a problem there, they lock the jaw and lock your brain. The brain cannot clean themselves. That causes a brain function problem.
Well, it's interesting. A lot of people who are under stress clench their teeth all the time. So the temporal mandibular joint, which you're talking about, the TMJ, is actually the pump handle, the lower jaw hooking into that saddle at the side of your face, pumps the other 22 bones of the head, and it moves the spinal fluid. So when that's not working properly, as you found with that patient, is going to cause an inflammation, a stagnation, if you will, that spinal fluid is just stuck there. It's not moving. It can cause a problem with memory. You're right.
Exactly. A lot of people, they don't know. But same thing again, you'll see a lot of surprise when you come to my lecture. So there's a lot of information there. I'll tell you. So I'm looking forward to see you guys there. We'll talk about the brain fog, brain function. I'll talk about the gut, talk about the TMJ and the acupuncture. how equipment combine together to treat the patient, what's the best way to give the patient the best health. So it's not only for brain health, but the whole body too.
You know, if the body's not balanced properly, there's so many different things that take place, and that TMJ is related to many things, including breathing patterns and sleep apnea conditions and things of that nature. So if you deprive your brain of oxygen that normally should be there and you're not getting it properly, you have to restore that function. Sometimes it's just a muscular pattern. Sometimes you need somebody who understands neuromuscular dentistry at the best place that they can, and do it in cooperation and concert with the work that you do. I'm excited. This is going to be a great program this Wednesday evening. And, you know, we're coming up to that break. We're coming up to that place that we always have to say, you know, we'll see them all next week. But tell your friends about the program. We're here to serve you. And remember, we do this program for one reason and one reason only. We love you all. Take care of yourself. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.